Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome at this evening's press conference following the conclusion of the first session of the European Council. I would now like to give the floor over to the President of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy.
Good evening, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Today we took important decisions to strengthen the Eurozone. We have endorsed the final report of the task force. We have also found an agreement about the procedure to decide upon a crisis mechanism for the Eurozone. This spring, we overcame a deep crisis of the economic and monetary union. Our next political duty was to draw the lessons for the future, to make the European economies more crisis-proof. That's exactly what the recommendations of the task force will do. That's why all heads of state and government agreed with the proposals today as a huge improvement compared to the current situation. Let me highlight the three main elements before coming to the follow-up. Firstly, the creation of a new macroeconomic surveillance framework. This is the biggest innovation. It will detect imbalances and risks like housing bubbles. It will observe the competitiveness of member states, and if a country loses too much competitiveness, action will have to be undertaken, in particularly within the Eurozone. I have said before that the euro has acted as a sleeping pill, especially in good times. We now propose a system of timely awakening. This will enhance confidence. Second main element, a stronger stability and growth pact, improving fiscal responsibility. Compared to the current situation, sanctions will kick in earlier and progressively. Public debt will be taken more into account alongside the deficit criteria. Sanctions will be possible before the 3% annual deficit is reached if not enough preventive action is taken, and that's also totally new. Moreover, sanctions can be decided more easily. All this will deter bad budgetary behavior. These recommendations, as the others of the task force, are also extremely close to the Commission proposals. One clarification. Some people claim to be disappointed there is not more automaticity in the decision-making. Well, more automaticity is exactly what we propose. Ministers of Finance will decide on sanctions on the basis of the so-called reverse majority rule. This means a Commission proposal for sanctions stands unless a qualified majority votes against, whereas until now a majority had to approve the sanction. The judgment of finance ministers is foreseen in the treaty and therefore cannot be eliminated. Only a few weeks ago, some member states were very reluctant about the reverse majority. It's really a breakthrough. Furthermore, the task force proposes a whole series of other measures aimed at strengthening the stability pact, such as more policy coordination, the European semester, sound statistics, and independent fiscal councils. Member states should feel that their policy decisions affect all their partners and the Union as a whole. It is a big lesson of the crisis. A general remark, the task force was a political framework aimed at generating rapidly consensus. All the breakthroughs we achieved now need to be translated into legislative work. The work needs to be done by the Council, the Commission and the Parliament. I trust all the institutions will keep up the momentum. It is our duty and they will assume that duty. Now the third and final main element of the task force, which also brings me to the follow-up of the task force. We recommend a robust and credible permanent crisis mechanism to safeguard the financial stability of the Eurozone as a whole. Today, all heads of state and government agreed on that need. Why? Because even if all the right budgetary and economic measures are taken by everybody, one may never exclude surprises. Politics is not a zero-risk business. This spring, the absence of a crisis mechanism almost brought down the Eurozone as a whole. It made people think. Under pressure, a temporary crisis mechanism was improvised. It will last for 3 years, until 2013. So we need to think beyond that date, starting now. The guiding principles are clear. A permanent crisis mechanism should be able to address financial distress and avoid contagion from one country to another. It should also avoid moral hazard. Now the question is whether such a robust crisis mechanism requires a change of the treaty. There are legal aspects and political considerations, both for individual member states and for the Union as a whole. Tonight, we have had a good exchange of view on this, and we decided upon the following. I will read our decision of this evening, first on the crisis mechanism. Further, to the report of the task force, and in order to ensure balanced and sustainable growth, heads of state and government agree on the need for member states to establish a permanent crisis mechanism to safeguard the financial stability of the euro area as a whole, and invite the President of the European Council to undertake consultations with the members of the European Council on a limited treaty change required to that effect, not modifying Article 125, the no bailout clause. The European Council welcomes the intention of the Commission to undertake, in close consultation with the President of the European Council, preparatory work on the general features of a future new mechanism. It means the role of the private sector, the role of IMF, and the very strong conditionality under which such programs should operate. The European Council will revert to this matter at its December meeting with a view to taking the final decision both on the outline of a crisis mechanism and on a limited treaty amendment so that any change can be ratified at the latest by mid-2013. The President of the European Council intends to subsequently examine, in consultation with the Member States, the issue of the right to participate in decision-making in the Economic and Monetary Union-related procedures in case of a permanent threat to the stability of the Eurozone as a whole. We took also a position on budgetary perspectives. The heads of state or government stressed that at the same time as fiscal discipline is reinforced in the European Union, it is essential that the European Union budget and the forthcoming multi-annual financial framework reflect the consolidation efforts being made by the Member States to bring deficit and debt into a more sustainable path. Respecting the role of the different institutions and the need to meet Europe's objectives, the European Council will discuss at its next meeting how to ensure spending at the European level can make an appropriate contribution to this work. And finally, we spoke also about the impact of pension reforms, and we say that we will examine how the impact of pension reform can be accounted for in the implementation of the Stability Pact. So that are the main elements of our discussion today. And the most important conclusion is that we endorse the report of the task force. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Barroso, you have the floor.
Bonsoir, bonne nuit. Le président du Conseil européen a présenté déjà d'une façon très complète et très fidèle les résultats de nos travaux, donc je ne vais pas répéter ce qu'il a dit. Je tiens néanmoins à souligner certains aspects, d'ailleurs, où l'intervention de la Commission a number of points spécialement significatifs.
Where the involvement of the Commission is particularly significant. Firstly,
nous avons tous
when it comes to the task force, we have all approved the results of the task force. That's big progress.
Un grand progrès en termes de la gouvernance économique de l'Union européenne.
There's a big problem when it came to economic governance in the European Union, and I would very much welcome the work of President Van Rompuy. That's allowed us to move towards a consensus when it comes to reinforcing European economic governance. At the same
time,
we have all decided that the time has come to move forward with this procedure, the community method, on the basis of Commission proposals, using all the input of the task force. This will allow those involved in the co-decision process to take the relevant legislative decisions, the Council and the European Parliament. It was an excellent discussion. And I would like to stress the fact that at the end of this exercise, the European Union is going to have more robust economic governance, certainly when it comes to the Eurozone.
Obtenu des résultats remarquables, par exemple le semestre européen, résultat qu'il y a quelques années ou mois, beaucoup diraient que ce serait impossible.
That many people would have said was impossible a few years ago. So I would like to welcome that progress.
The
European Council unanimously approved the idea of the fast track. The idea behind that is that we would like to have legislative decisions concluded
jusqu'à la fin du premier semestre 2011.
By the first semester of 2011, which is an excellent thing. If you think about the progress already achieved when it comes to regulating financial markets, and in other areas too, financial supervision, I think that Europe can be proud. Europe is actually dealing with the crisis, and Europe is showing that monetary union has to be supplemented with a real economic union. Now, some of the conclusions that we have arrived at cover, for example, the issue of imbalances, macroeconomic imbalances, and other areas too, many other areas, and I won't get embroiled in detail now.
Either
Commission proposals or specific recommendations of the task force actually constitute a major step forward. And it's now for the legislator, the Council and the Parliament to actually come up with those legislative texts.
And that's real progress.
Now, of course, there are other issues about what the task force didn't achieve, because now the task force has completed its work. There's the whole issue of the follow-up and the way of responding to the crisis, the crisis mechanism.
There, the Council has welcomed
the idea that the European Commission will come up with some ideas for the crisis mechanism. We'll be working very closely with the President of the European Council. This is an extremely difficult and sensitive issue. It's also difficult from a technical perspective. We have also received a request to come up with some results by the European Council in December. That's what we will do. The heads of state and government have agreed to a limited revision of the treaty, and they're entitled to do that. That's a decision that has to be taken unanimously by the member states, and that will be the case probably in December this year. The European Commission will now participate in the drafting of this crisis mechanism.
How can we
come up with a credible response in the face of any new crisis? Obviously, we hope there won't be any further crisis. We hope that with the reinforcement of the Stability and Growth Pact, with rigorous application of all the principles of EMU, we won't have any more situations like the ones that we've dealt with recently, for example, the sovereign debt crisis. The Commission said very clearly that we are in favor of a permanent crisis response mechanism in the Eurozone. And we have agreed that we will come up with some proposals, and that's what we'll be doing very soon. I think that's basically the main conclusion of the European Council, certainly as far as the European Commission is concerned. And I would like to underscore
très intense.
Just how much work has been done. It was very intensive work.
Poussée, assez importante. Un Conseil européen vraiment
very
très in-depth important.
Discussion. This is a crucially important European Council. We started it today and we'll finish it tomorrow. You'll have all the formal conclusions tomorrow so that we can better take stock of what's happened.
Nous procédons maintenant à quelques questions très matinales. Oui, monsieur, là vous avez posé une question ce matin. Je vous redonne la parole.
You have put a question this morning. I'll give the floor to you.
Thanks. Daniel Rastelio Publico for both gentlemen. I'd like to know why are you going to explore the modification of the treaty, the possibility affecting voting rights when a large number of countries are against, and when that would imply a deep change in the treaty. And a second question, if I may, aren't you concerned then that by opening the door to debt restructuring, the markets will be even more reluctant to lend money to countries that might not give it back? Thanks.
Alors, je vais répondre, si vous voulez, aussi en français.
If I may, I'll answer in French.
L'heure tardive, given je peux me concentrer plus dans la seconde langue. Nous sommes tous mis d'accord. Il ne s'agit plus de ceux qui étaient hésitants, de ceux qui étaient contre, de ceux qui étaient pour, de ceux qui étaient enthousiastes. Ça n'a aucune importance. Nous nous sommes mis d'accord sur le principe qu'il faut un mécanisme permanent de crise. Et pour avoir ce mécanisme permanent de crise, il faut une modification limitée, un amendement limité au traité. Et donc, ça c'est la conclusion.
So that's the conclusion.
Mais il faut bien sûr savoir quelles sont les caractéristiques de ce mécanisme de crise. Là, la Commission fera des propositions et sur base davantage de détails de ce mécanisme de crise, je proposerai des modifications au traité, mais d'une façon limitée et de préférence, si possible, en employant des procédures rapides. Donc, il ne s'agit pas d'ouvrir le traité de Lisbonne, d'avoir, disons, un nouveau débat institutionnel. Non, il faut répondre à un besoin pour avoir, et c'est le souhait de tout le monde de prime abord, pour avoir un mécanisme permanent de crise, il faut une assise constitutionnelle, une assise dans le traité plus solide. Eh bien, on prendra le temps pour voir quel est ce mécanisme et quelles modifications légères au traité sont nécessaires. Et on conclura en décembre sur tout ça. Et oui, la deuxième question, on n'a pas parlé de restructuration de la dette et on a simplement répété ce qu'il y a dans les conclusions de la task force, c'est que si on met sur place un nouveau mécanisme pour l'avenir, il faut tenir compte de différentes conditions, entre autres l'implication du Fonds monétaire, le rôle du secteur privé, une très forte conditionnalité, mais là c'est à déterminer et on attend le travail de la Commission à cet effet, mais on ne fait maintenant que répéter ce qu'il y a dans la task force, ni plus ni moins.
Merci beaucoup. C'est Griselda Pastor de la Radio Espagnola Cadena Ser. J'aimerais savoir quels ont été les éléments qui ont permis au Conseil de conclure que, étant donné qu'il voulait un mécanisme, le changement des traités était obligatoire. Est-ce que c'est l'argument allemand du problème juridique ou constitutionnel allemand ou est-ce qu'il y a d'autres éléments pour parvenir à cette conclusion?
En fait, toutes les motivations n'ont strictement aucune importance. Qu'on s'est mis d'accord, ça c'est le plus important. Quels ont été les arguments? Je crois que l'argument effectivement le plus important, c'est qu'il faut être sûr et certain quand on met sur pied un mécanisme de crise
que ça tient la route aussi sur le plan constitutionnel dans les États membres. Figurez-vous qu'on aurait mis sur pied un mécanisme de crise qui ne répondrait pas à toutes les garanties constitutionnelles. Ce serait une catastrophe. Donc, le mécanisme est tellement important pour la survie de l'eurozone, pourrait être important pour la survie de l'eurozone et de certains États membres, qu'il faut prendre toutes les assurances et installer toutes les garanties. C'est si simple que ça, c'est de la bonne gestion.
Oui, monsieur.
Alvise Ermelini from German Press Agency, DPA. I didn't understand whether you have been asked to also look at the question of suspension of voting rights in your mandate. Could you clarify that, please?
I will read the text again. The text is very clear. The President of the European Council intends to subsequently, it's not in December, examine in consultation with the Member States the issue of the right to participate in decision-making in the European Monetary Union-related procedures in case of a permanent threat to the stability of the Eurozone as a whole. As you know, the problem of so-called voting rights was on the table, and so what we decided is that I will examine this later on in the framework I just described.
So, last question. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Anton LaGuardia from The Economist. Can you say what the nature of this possible treaty change is? I believe you mentioned Article 125. There's also Article 122. And I know there was a lot of debate about how the two relate to each other. Can you tell us more about what the limited nature of this change will be?
We will wait on the proposals or the preparatory work of the Commission to give a definitive answer on this.
Ok, encore une très bonne nuit. Merci.